KKFI.org. We do the work.
You're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI Kansas City Community Radio. Community radio in the 21st century.
Monsters of the Eid no longer stand here, and terrors of the night are out in broad daylight. No need to knock on wood. Don't stop to say a prayer. It won't do any good. They're multiplying in the air. Creatures of the deep are going without sleep, and phantoms of the dark have their own place to park. No need to lock the door. They're sprouting through the cracks. They're making room for more. They're deputizing maniacs. Prehistoric ghouls are making their own rules, and resurrected huns are passing out the guns. No need to cause a fuss. Don't go and make a scene. They know what's best for us. They're fighting fire with gasoline. Creatures from the swamp rewrite their own mind comp. Neanderthals amok, just trying to make a buck. Goblins and their hags are out there waving flags. When will we be rid of monsters of the East?
5 minutes after the hour of one, right here on Community Radio in the 21st century. When I come down here, I love to be on the radio because it's a radio station. All right, I'm Benjamin. This is the Paragon Radio Program. Here with you yet another Sunday night, Monday morning, depending on your perspective and what you are doing. It is also pledge drive time. Giddy up, folks. It's that time where KKFI needs a little bit of your money. But we'll take your phone calls at 816-931-5534. We'll also take your texts at the non-corporately sponsored KKFI text line 301-5731. 816-301-5731. When I promise to read them entirely on air, except for the ones that threaten Russ, threaten to do Russ some sort of physical or mental harm. I feel like I should be protective of Russ on that level. All right, so here we are yet again. We listened to the first hour. I thought it might be nice to do something a little bit different than we've been doing, and that was Michael Tesarion talking about what Michael Tesarion talks about, which is generally symbolism and the occult and Freemasons and the Illuminati and Rosicrucians, right? All this kind of
Anunnaki.
The Anunnaki, shape-shifting alien reptiles. I mean, good old-fashioned stuff, you know? I mean, when we all got into all our alternative perspectives about the world we live in and the government and the shapeshifters and, you know, I mean, isn't it Bilderberg time? Did Bilderberg already happen? Or is it going on right now or something like that?
It's in 2 weeks or something like
this
that?
This week. I think it's going
this
on
week,
right now.
Yeah.
Somewhere in Europe this year, right?
Mm-hmm.
What was the name of the guy, the Bilderberg detective?
Tucker?
Yeah, Jim Tucker. He passed away.
He did.
Which was, that was rough for Philip Morris because they lost a valued customer in Jim Tucker's passing.
You don't remember most about Jim Tucker?
No.
Him calling cigarettes with filters on them tampon tips.
He's old school, you know?
Tamp taps.
You know, if a guy refers to, yeah, I mean, you're just from a different generation.
Very different.
Also an icebox and a clicker, too.
Clicker.
That's right. So, yeah, it's Bilderberg time. What the little creeps out there. You know, and it's the amazing thing is that if Bilderberg is real, right? And if for the folks that don't know it, it's the elites of industry and the intelligentsia, banking,
media,
politics, they all get together. It's like
it's a think fest.
It's like 100 people, 150 people strong. Guys like Henry Kissinger and the Rockefellers and, you know, the various monarchs of Europe are always there. The meeting's either held in North America or in Europe.
In Canada.
It's held, which is part of North America.
Okay,
very well.
So I would agree with that.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. And that happened, and it happens, you know, every year, and they flip back and forth between, you know, North America and Europe somewhere. And they set the agenda for the world, right? I mean, isn't that what they do? I mean, what do you get the most powerful people in their respective fields together in a room to have, you know, roundtable groups, to have, you know, steering committees to outline what they want to happen in the next year. I mean, isn't this what the idea? I mean, they
report to the Anunnaki.
They report to their alien overlords?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much.
This is not Coast to Coast. We're not going to talk about Anunnaki unless it's a punchline. You know what I mean? But when it comes down to it, you know, so if these guys are setting the agenda for the world, they're the ones that have been working since, because Bilderberg's been going on since the 50s or something like that. You know, after World War II and this new alignment of power was created out of the defeat of Germany and Japan and Germany got defeated, Japan got defeated, but fascism still won. It's one something that people rarely, you know, seem to understand. Something that gets lost in all of this. Because, I mean, you were saying the other day, Jesse, you have these glimmers, and you're like, somebody once said that there's only two types of government possible. One's tyranny, and the other's anarchy. And you got to pick which one you want. Do you want dictatorship, or do you want absolute freedom? I mean, I'm an absolute freedom kind of guy. I would take the anarchy. I would take the libertarian reality, whatever it is, 100% of the time. And there's truth to that, though, because we, in a lot of ways, these countries that are free because the power structures have found it beneficial for them to be free. Mm-hmm. I mean, the slaves of the American South were not freed because of some sort of ethical or moral come to Jesus moment that the power structure in Washington, D.C. had. They were freed because it was a changing economic model, where it's much easier to pay your slaves than it is to outright own them. But thinking about Bilderberg Group, thinking about this power structure, thinking about how much control they can wield, thinking about the Koch brothers, thinking about the money that they've put into the election campaigns that we, in the last 6 years, especially since the Citizens United decision, but the way that the Tea Party thing has metastasized out of the Ron Paul for, all this money and all this power and all this control, and they still don't have it, right? I mean, clearly the Bilderbergs are not absolutely in control of anything, right?
No, they're vying for control.
Vying for control, exactly. The Koch brothers, the Koch family, they may have altered the political landscape to a certain degree, have manipulated it to a certain degree, but they're not in control of it. I mean, for as much money as they have put into the Tea Party, the Tea Party is essentially, it's dead on arrival this primary season.
They're yet to win a primary.
Yeah, exactly. So all these people who are vying for control, who have immense resources, Charles Koch is the third or fourth richest man in America. His family is all extremely wealthy. He pours lots of money into these, campaigns and election cycles and super PACs and all this other stuff. Bilderberg, controls an immense amount of, influence.
Free market fascism.
That's cute. Free market fascism. Can we get some t-shirts made?
Sure.
I'll take a bumper sticker, too. They're all vying for control, but they don't have it. Why is that? Is that because nobody's in control?
Right.
I mean, the guy that's in the fifth dimension may have a different perspective on all this. He might not be so myopic. And I don't know if that is Michio Kaku. It's definitely not Neil deGrasse Tyson. He is not in the fifth dimension.
No.
He's way too personable to be...
3.5.
Absolutely. But, nobody's actually in control of this.
It's uncontrollable.
Isn't that so reassuring?
Yes.
That's probably the key right there.
Letting go.
The snake is long.
Ordo ab chaos.
7 miles.
Nobody's in control. People, I think, a lot of times want somebody to be in control because it's reassuring. And it means you don't have to take responsibility for what goes on, your actions, right? Mm-hmm. If somebody else is in control, then you get to be like the child. You get to be the infant. You're the one that's taken care of. What's that?
The rebel with a cause. You either fight them or join them. Either way, it's still them.
Very reassuring to know that nobody is in control. And even if you wanted to take things over, you couldn't do it. You really couldn't do it. The only way you could ultimately do it is by destroying it. Right? I mean, what are you going to do? How would you take control of America? I mean, the only way you could do it is by destroying it.
Yeah, beating it into submission.
Nobody was able to take control of Europe. Europe had to be destroyed. That's what World War II was about. I mean, Hitler wanted to take control of Europe. I mean, before that, the French had tried and the English had tried and all these people had tried. The Austrians tried and nobody, people were able to piece together these little coalitions for a century or two. But in the end, it had to be destroyed for somebody to try to take control of it. And now Europe's falling apart. I mean, that coalition that was created after World War II, along the lines of the Bilderberg Group, along the lines of all these post-World War II international globalist political movements that were created, like the United Nations and the IMF and the World, you know, Bank and all these things. I mean, Europe is falling apart. Europe, I mean, you know, France elected Marine Le Pen to be their representative at the EU's Congress. Now, I know we don't talk a whole bunch about foreign politics here, but Marine Le Pen is Marie Le Pen's daughter. Marie sounds like it would be the lady's name, and Marine sounds like it would be the boy's name. But it's, hey, it's a different culture. It's French culture. But Marine Le Pen is essentially a neo-Nazi. You know, they didn't figure that out over there. Goddamn neo-Nazis still. I mean, in America, all our neo-Nazis are government informants who, you know, try to exact their revenge on Judaism by shooting a bunch of Christians outside of a Jewish community center.
Or talking heads on Fox.
You think those guys are neo-Nazis?
Some of them are.
That's different. Those are free market fascists.
Okay, free market fascists.
See, that's why we need the t-shirts and the bumper stickers.
Which we could totally give away at the $100 level of the play.
That's absolutely right. 1-888-931-0901. No, that's absolutely right. And so, you should be reassured by it. I mean, you know, I've been having a conversation, you know, an ongoing conversation with this guy I know about, you know, broad intellectual generalities about the world, the condition of man, where we're going, where we've been, et cetera. And I'm talking about some of the fears that I have. You know, like there's things that exist within the commons that are being manipulated in a way that should be a cause for concern for some people. Namely, seeds, genetic material from plants. Monsanto wants to own and has sued successfully in courts over the use of their Roundup Ready corn genetic material showing up on people's property who don't have the licensing rights to have that DNA, etc. You get really freaked out by all this. You go, Monsanto's taking the world over. But you know what? That Roundup Ready corn doesn't work. I mean, the yields are lower. You know, the whole point was to have a genetically modified corn that you could spray chemicals on so you didn't have to weed or lose plants to weeds or do that in a, you know, traditional way. What happened? I mean, 15 years into them using this Roundup Ready corn everywhere. I mean, what has been the effect of it? They have these super weeds that they can't kill now.
It helped Michael Taylor get a job.
Right. Certainly lobbying helps. They now have these super weeds that they can't kill because life is more powerful than a corporation. Life is more powerful than Monsanto. Not to say that, you know, Monsanto hasn't had its effects or all these other chemical companies and, you know, polluters haven't had their effects on the commons, you know, making our water and our air and all these other things, you know, poisoned and filthy. But nevertheless, life will still persist. I mean, you can't alter it as a man enough unless you want to destroy it to really try to, we can get really scared, we can get full of fear, the paranoia can hit us really hard, but when it comes down to it, that simple, that the variables, the complexities of life and its desire to continue on is going to trump any man-made design every single time.
This is what your friend said.
No, this is what I've come up with.
Okay.
And it's very reassuring. I mean, it's 2014. So many of us thought that there would be some sort of large explosion signifying the end of the world years ago.
Well, the clocks and the calendars are a little bit off.
God. I mean,
wait until after 2016 and then we'll celebrate.
Yeah, I know. I mean, exactly. That's the whole point. You know, it's still waiting on it.
I need something to look forward to.
Need something to look forward to. It's like in America, we have this post-apocalyptic, you know, fantasy. You know, this post-apocalyptic fetish. And I heard some guy talking about how there's a general desire for L.A. to get blown up. It's constant within Hollywood and other stories and, you know, this kind of the theme of the apocalypse. happening. LA's the first to go.
It's like the cover of a muck.
Exactly. It's everywhere. LA's gotta go, folks.
Yeah, I took the miniatures to see Godzilla last weekend.
You did?
Correct. And the every advertisement for upcoming movies, there was like three in a row that were all about the end of the world.
Well, it's profitable. Everyone wants to talk about the end of the world.
Although I did read recently about the warehouse in, I think it's South Carolina, that's full. It looks like the last scene in Raiders of the Lost Ark, but it's all 2012 Mayan books. Like, there's an abundance of them.
Oh, that didn't get sold?
Yeah, all the ones. Prepare yourself for the 2012 Mayan apocalypse.
Yeah, become.
There was a lot of books written in between End of the World Party and the fake End of the World.
So if you start digging through those books, underneath them you'll find, if you go down enough layers, a bunch of books on Y2K.
I don't really remember that being a thing. I know it was a thing, but I don't. I guess I just wasn't paying attention at that point.
No, it was.
What changed?
9/11.
Okay.
9/11 made me say, like, what is all this stuff over here? This is.
Well, you started reading the newspaper?
This is weird.
That's when you got your subscription to Time Magazine?
Yeah.
So somewhere around 9/11.
It wasn't, no.
Like, I need to get serious about my publisher's clearinghouse sweepstakes.
Yeah, give me two news weeks, a Time, and Foreign Affairs.
That's when it began. That's whence it began. All right, 816-931-5534 is the telephone number. You can also, we have the non-corporately sponsored Paragon Radio text line at 301-5731. That is 301-5731. Is it racist that a white guy tried to buy the Clippers?
I mean, I think that that's kind of pushing it.
You think that's racist?
A little bit.
Shouldn't the league have sold it at a discounted price to Oprah? That wouldn't have been racist, would it have been?
She could afford it. She didn't need the discount.
Yeah, I mean, $2 billion, man. That's no joke.
You could probably find a Groupon for buying the Clippers.
A couple years ago, you could. No, I'm trying to. It's like my first night down here, guys.
Yeah. All of Ben's comments are brought to you tonight by Discover. It pays to Discover.
Okay. Well, the phone system's messed up. 816-931-5534. It's trying to get you on air. So that's not racist, guys?
Nah.
Is it important at all?
No.
No. Why do they keep talking about it?
Because it's probably something they don't want us to talk about.
I was watching CNN the other day. They were doing a follow-up story to Flight 370.
Yeah, they start doing that.
They land yet?
It's out there somewhere. It's certainly looking for a landing spot. I mean, they spent 2 months talking about it and were unable to figure anything out whatsoever. Absolutely hilarious. 816-931-5534. 931-KKFI, you're on the radio.
Hey, fellas, it's Uncle Fester.
Uncle Fester, what's going on?
Hey, man, I'm just calling in with an apocalypse, end of the world update.
Okay, did it.
Did you get drafted by the Clippers?
No, really, man. Hey, this rain's doing the garden good, man. I'm glad to see it. But I think I got super weeds in my garden, man.
Hopefully.
Well, I'll buy them.
Yeah. We'll twist them out, baby.
Man, I threw my back out. I was out working in the garden today, and I've been crawling around all weekend on my, the plants get high enough. You got to let the plants come up a little bit to where you can tell what the weeds from the vegetables, right?
Sure.
And by the time the vegetables get up, the weeds. I don't know what kind of weeds you got in your garden, but I mean the weed. I got like crabgrass in my garden that you got to blast out of there with dynamite, man. I don't know where this crap comes from, but. I was out running around the other day. I got one of those garden. I got one kind of garden thing. It's got like little wheels on it that you roll over the top, and it kind of tears the weeds up, but it doesn't go very deep.
Garden weasel.
Yeah, well, no, well, I was down at Restore the other day on Merriam Lane, and they had the lady said they bought, that somebody donated like a million of these things, and it's like the thing you see advertised on TV. It actually said it's a garden weasel, but it's got like four tines on it,
sure.
And it's got a big handle.
Yep.
And it looks like a pogo stick, and you stick it down to the ground, and you give the handle a half a twist, and it just rips everything out. And it basically pulls up a plug, mostly. Sometimes it doesn't. Most of the time you pull it up, and it pulls the dirt up and the weeds up about 6 inches worth, and it just wipes weeds out, man. You can only do, like, you know, like an 8-inch circumference at a time. But, I mean, it just absolutely destroys weeds. It's a little slow going, but, man, I need all the help I can get.
Yeah, there you go. Or you can do what we do at my house, and we just shape. We use garden clippers to shape the weeds, and we just call it landscaping.
Hell, man, I've been down doing the hands and knees, pulling them out with my hands method. That's getting old.
Well,
but man, I got to tell you, you know, this, you know, well, you want to know who's running things?
Yeah,
I'll tell you who's running things. You know who's running the world? You ain't going to like it, but I'll tell you, and then I'll move on to something else.
Don't say
Satan. I'll tell you who's running the world.
Nancy
Satan.
Nancy Satan.
That's who's running the world.
Oh, my God.
Really?
Satan.
That's right.
You obviously have never read Satan's diaries.
Hold on. Or how is the basis for Marilyn Manson running the world? I don't
know. Marilyn Manson running the world? Hell, I didn't know that.
All right. How is that?
But, you know, you made a comment. You made a comment. I don't know, a few shows back, three or four shows back, that you know, that we had to evolve. You know, that we had to evolve our way out of this.
Right.
You know, and. You know, the thing I see, Benjamin, they had this guy on the other day talking to college students, right? And he was trying to get them, I don't know where I heard this, but it was, you know, what was the Revolutionary War fought over, and who did we fight, and what was the, you know, what was the Civil War fought over, who was the first president, what are the three branches of government? Now, he's talking to college students, and you know what? These kids didn't have a clue. They didn't have a freaking clue.
Okay.
So, you know, I think, you know, the problem is,
Was it community college?
This nation is swimming in a cesspool of degeneracy and idiocy. That's the problem.
Okay. It's called the big empty.
That's the problem. You want to know how America's going to be destroyed? That's how it's going to be destroyed. It's going to be destroyed because it's full of stupid degenerate people. So that's what's going to happen.
So what's the solution? Should we meditate our way out of this, or should we shoot our way out of this?
Arm everybody with guns.
All right, look, I'm not getting into guns. You guys beat me into this every week. I am not talking about guns. I'm a peace-loving.
Uncle Fester, do you think that a gun could kill Satan?
No.
All right.
I'd be willing to give it a shot.
No pun intended.
But you realize if
you know, with that Walmart ammo, you never know.
But you realize, Uncle Fester, if we got rid of Satan, that we'd have to get rid of Jesus too, right?
Well, now see, you bring up an interesting point because, you know, all these people are out there that say they don't believe in God, but apparently there's a lot of people out there that believe in the devil. Like the people at Harvard that want to hold a satanic black mass. You know, a lot of people will deny the existence of God and the existence of Jesus, but they're all over the existence of Satan and the devil.
Sure, I mean,
I think there's more God worshippers, though.
You never been to a rock show,
you know,
before?
That's kind of yin and yang, though. You know, if you know, there can't be a God without a Satan. There can't be a Satan without a God. It's just kind of the way the universe works, you know?
Not the universe. That's the way our puny human brains work. Everything is in dualities.
Well, you know, okay, well, let's talk about the nature of reality for a second. Because, you know, a lot of people, I'm on a politics board a lot. I'm on the University of Missouri Tiger Board under a pseudonym, of course. You know, I'm actually under me. What the hell am I talking about? But, you know, you get these people on here that say, well, you know, that's just a big fantasy. You know, the Bible and God and Jesus and all this stuff that happened. You know, and I don't know what it is. My mind just doesn't work like that. But what seems like a fantasy to me is the fact that we're just all some sort of cosmic accident. I mean, it's just, that just seems so ludicrous to me. You know, when I look at the clouds in the sky, or, you know, or my cat, or, the, you know, the smile of a child or something, and, you know, somebody wants to believe that, you know, there's just some big boom that happened a billion years ago, and poof, here we are. I mean, that just seems absolutely ridiculous
to
me.
I don't think anybody knows any more than anybody else. So it's really just a mystery to all of us. To claim that somebody knows how, maybe it was God's accident. Who knows?
Well, I saw once they put a number behind it, you know, the chances of random DNA forming life. And, it, you know, take a one and put about a trillion zeros behind it because basically the number is so, the odds are so high that it basically renders it impossible. Random strand DNA is not coming together to form life. It just really ain't happening.
Right. The receiving mixture is improbable. It's incalculable for those strands to line up like a left hand and a right hand to be identical right. Yet mirrored accidentally is impossible.
Yeah. Well, I mean, fair enough. You know, I mean, there's no implication that you think the world is some random place by questioning the motivations of organized religions. I mean, religions are organized to manipulate people into giving up their money and their free will.
Well, you're right. But see, look, Benjamin, I can claim to be a Texas oil millionaire. Just because I say I'm a Texas oil millionaire doesn't make me a Texas oil millionaire. There's a lot of people out there that claim to be Christians. These people that you see on these religious networks, you know, these chicks that you see wearing 5 pounds of makeup and whatnot, just because they're claiming to be doesn't mean they are, you know. And there's a difference between claiming to be something and being something, you know. I find it interesting, you know, that people say, well, you know, it's like we change for the sake of change. It's like, hey, we can cross an Iroquois with a cockroach. Let's do it. Or, you know, we can make an animal human hybrid. Let's do it. Sometimes, and people are always looking for the latest, greatest thing, like, well, the Bible is old and antiquated. Let's find something else. We're smarter than that. We're better than that. Well, sometimes, what's that saying? Sometimes the old ways are the best ways, you know, and maybe it's not the fact that maybe it doesn't work. Maybe it's just that people aren't doing it right.
You know what I mean? I've personally met a bunch of people, Uncle Fester, who claim to be atheists but are actually very Christian. So it's funny how that works.
I'm not sure I've ever encountered that. That's interesting.
It's a big world.
I don't think I've ever run across that, Benjamin.
I personally know some Jews for Jesus myself. But Fester, we appreciate your phone call, man. You keep your garden weeded and watered.
Easy on the
well, time. I'm going to try to finish it. I'm going to try to finish it up tomorrow.
All right, man. You be good out there.
Did he suggest we cross an Iroquois with a cockroach?
I think that's against the Indian treaty.
Right. The
816-931-5534, 931-KKFI. You are on the air.
Hey, Benjamin. I've been listening since the Big Dog Wars.
Oh, sure. Yeah,
and,
right.
Yeah. And I just wonder, where do you go where do you go with all that you talk about? I mean, you know, I listen to Alex Jones and I just don't understand. I don't understand how you do it week after week. It's kind of like
medication.
You just keep saying the same thing over and over, you know, and I just don't see, don't you get burned out on it?
On repeating myself constantly?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's a little tiresome, but hey, you know, until these people figure it out, man, I got to tell them.
Well, I got to wonder about Alex Jones, too. I mean, good grief. I think I'd drive myself nuts.
But that's the whole deal. Alex Jones is nuts.
Yeah, he's heavily medicated, too.
Yeah, he's completely, I mean, shout crackers.
Shout
well,
crackers.
I mean, I just don't see how he can get so fired up every damn day.
Coke in a can.
You know why he gets so fired up? He looks every morning. He gets up and he looks at his PayPal account.
Yep,
that fires his ass up.
And he has a Monster energy drink.
You know, I guess it's almost a phenomenon. You know,
maybe so.
But anyway.
Hey, you know what, man? Somebody said a long time ago that really simple minds talk about people. You know, the next step up, a little more complex minds talk about events. And people who have developed cerebral cortexes talk about ideas. And sometimes it's just nice to talk about ideas.
I know, but it's oh, Lord, it's I can dig what you're saying. It's just it wears me out sometimes. I mean, I have to I listen to you for a few minutes, and it's like, oh, okay, I can't do it anymore. And the same with Alex, you know.
You're right, man.
And
thanks,
I'm not being disparaging about either, but it's just like, just wears me out, man, you know.
Here's the way I, because I was at your point in about 2009 when I had finally had enough of Alex Jones. And it started before that, but it was a full conscious effort at that point to use that frustration as fuel to make change. And you're not going to make it from the top down. You'll only make it from the center out. So
yeah,
after the
yeah.
8th millionth show about Monsanto, you got to start your own garden. After the 8th millionth show about the public schools, you got to start homeschooling. After the 8th millionth show about bankers, you got to get out of debt. And then once enough people start from the center out, then the actual change will manifest in reality. But screaming and railing against it might be the purpose of Alex Jones, to get you frustrated, to get you discouraged, to make you want to, you know, turn him down and turn it off and bury your head back in the sand. But take that fire.
Well, no,
range.
I'm not burying my head. I'm looking at it like, how in the heck do you do that from day to day to day, just from a human point of view?
One step at a time.
I know of what you're talking about, you know. I'm just saying, it's just like, wow, you know. It's like, it's become something
to
behold, all into itself,
yeah.
You know. He's created an industry, really.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
He's selling a lot of stuff, that's for sure.
Absolutely. And quit buying it. Sell your own stuff.
I don't.
That's the way out of this.
I don't. I agree.
Well, right on. I mean, see, the whole point is, like, it's not that Alex Jones might be coming from the right place or the wrong place or whatever it is. It's just, I know that when I listen to Alex Jones, I get incredibly paranoid about everything, you know, and that's the fear. Alex Jones is the fear. You got to choose the love. That sounds so, so not
hippie.
Cool. Yeah, I sound, you know, like I should be wearing, you know, sandals and nothing else, you know, when I talk like that. But
well,
excuse me? Bad gay, not good gay.
Well, anyway, I don't want to talk myself in circles. I just tip my hat to y'all.
Well, right on, dude. We appreciate the phone call.
All righty.
All right, we'll talk to you later. And that's the whole point. Just, I mean, like, literally, you can sit around and read information. I mean, like, we could go on a bunch of alternative news sites right now and read 50 reasons why the American economy is collapsing in 2 weeks from now. The Chinese will no longer accept American dollars as payment for their, you know, for the trade deficit. I mean, we can find all these articles talk about the doom and the gloom. I mean, you know, Middle Eastern respiratory syndrome is coming to North America. It's almost West Nile virus season. I mean, Ghana, don't eat bats from Ghana. You know,
bees. You remember that one?
So the whole point is, there's lots of fear out there. If you want to be a part of the fear, then go for that. And, you know, it's Bilderberg, too. So get really afraid. You know, like, let's go get our megaphones and let's go shout down people in town cars and tell them that we're not their slaves. The answer to 1984 is 1776,
I just want to point out that they don't actually have, you know, bullhorns anymore. They have apps for those. You can actually make your iPhone a bullhorn.
That's, you know, let's go get some LRADs. Did you see the Missouri Department of Highway Patrol, Department of Transportation, is now using long-range acoustical devices, the same things that they place outside of free speech zones at political events so they can shut down protesters with horribly sounding frequencies? They have LRADs and SRADs, short-range acoustic devices, but essentially, I mean, it's like a car alarm, you know, times 100, so you can't stand to be around it. It's not the thing that causes you to poop in your pants.
Right, it's called Discordia.
Is that what the syndrome is that you get or whatever?
It's the alternating, oscillating, inharmonic frequencies at a high rate and a loud pitch, and it's Discordia.
I saw Discordia last, they were at Riot Room last month. 816-931.
Harmonia.
816-931-5534, 931-KKFI. You're on the radio.
This is Russ checking in from downtown.
What's up, Russ?
I was just going to chime in on your Clippers statement. You know, as you're aware, there's hundreds, if not thousands, of civil rights groups that, I mean, they make their living by hyping differences. And anything that they can, you know, hype up, that's how they're making their money. But I'd like to point out that out of the NBA owners, you know, yeah, they're on the surface, they all look like they're white males, but about 10 of them happen to be Jewish. Now, why is that important? I'll tell you why that's important. Because if I say that a bunch of rich white guys control the United States, everybody says, yes, that's true. Change that slightly to say that, you know, disproportionate number of Jews have a disproportionate influence in the United States, and you're called a hater, a racist, you know, you're called everything you can possibly think of.
Anti-Semitic.
The guy buying the team, Bellamar from Microsoft, he's Jewish. And Sterling, or whatever his name is, he's Jewish. I was listening to McNeil Laird NewsHour.
The correct answer would have been Whoopi Goldberg to be the next owner of the Clippers? Is that what you're trying to intimate here, Russ?
Well, I'm just trying to say
both black
that
and Jewish?
It's convenient for the political establishment, the media, et cetera, to lump Jewish males in with white males.
Wait a minute, Russ. I mean, Jewish guys aren't white guys. There's a difference.
Well, I can't go to Israel and demand to be resettled there.
Is your mother still alive?
Well, yeah, she is. She's not Jewish.
Well, you have to get her to convert, homie, and then you will be. You can absolutely go. That's the loophole right there. If Mama Russ becomes a Jew, then you can go to Israel and claim your full rights.
Well, I was listening to McNeil Laird NewsHour about 3 or 4 days ago, and they had a representative from Google on there. And he was being, he was on there talking about the diversity in Google and how they've been pressured by, what's his name? You know, some of the NAACP people, et cetera, et cetera. And he gave out the statistics on the people working at Google. 30% of the people working at Google are Asian American. And, of course, the people talking on there, they glossed over that point. They wanted, you know, they were like, well, there's only 1% black people, you know, black software engineers working at Google, and maybe like 2% Hispanic.
Right.
But they, you know, they basically, whenever you talk about the overrepresentation of Asians in engineering firms, et cetera, it's like, you know, if you're in the civil rights area, you ignore that. So in a sense, you're making them honorary whites, more like Hitler did, but, you know.
Megan, the Asians are honorary white people?
Well, it's not like a default position because,
junior varsity?
You know.
Yeah, JV honky.
JV honky?
Well, I don't know because, you know, when you read about these things or you read about how, you know, Asian students, Asian Americans, I guess that's the correct thing to say these days, you know, they outscore whites, everyone else basically on SAT tests, ACT. Except, you know, the political establishment in the civil rights political establishment, they ignore that part.
When was the last time a non-Indian, and I mean subcontinent Indian descent person won the National Spelling Bee?
Well, that's another point. They ignore that group as well. They just want to turn it into a black and white issue all the time.
I mean, doesn't some of the fact that India and China are both brimming with an overpopulation of people, and, you know, a lot of these folks get sent to American universities. A lot of people come to America, you know, for the simple opportunities, you know, that this place affords. So you have a disproportionate number of people who come from, you know, places like China and India to come to American universities, and they get recruited out of American universities, and they've studied some sort of, you know, computer engineering or, you know, physical engineering. And that's been where, I mean, that's just because that's what their society is focused upon.
Well, right, but
that society is focused upon.
Well, it was Jesse Jackson that went to Silicon Valley complaining about, you know, the lack of diversity, and yet in Cisco Systems, I think it was like 30% of their software engineers are Asian, but, you know, they overlooked that point. They just want to point out if there's one, you know, it's like if there's 51% of the engineers happen to be white male, that's bad. That's horrible. That's evil.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, there's a lot of politics about race, and you're right. I mean, a guy like Al Sharpton, a guy like Jesse Jackson has made a lot of his career and name off of being divisive about race because they don't really have another message. You know, did a guy like Martin Luther King, did he make that was that his message? No. Was a guy like Gandhi, was that his message? No. But those people had another message, which is one about humanity and spiritual evolution, etc. Al Sharpton doesn't have that message. You know, Al Sharpton has, you know, he's a political street, you know, team captain guy. You know, he's the guy that gets the, I mean, this is what his job was years ago, was to get folks to go out and protest stuff, put people on the street in front of the courthouse, that kind of thing. I mean, so there's no
message
there.
Well, I mean, my point is that, you know, I was reading another article about New York, about the fact that the schools there are basically are segregated. And people want to point this out, like, you know, it's like, it's almost like, if you look at the actual statistics, your kid would be better off sitting next to a Jewish student than an Asian student.
Are you ready for this, Russ? Although Jews only make up 0.2% of the world's population, they've won an astonishing 22% of the Nobel Peace Prizes.
Well, yeah, I already knew that. I already knew that. But, well, no, it's just like, I mean, what's going to happen in the future when there are so few white, you know, white pupils running around? I mean, are they going to be bused to every single school?
Oh, my God, that would
school?
Be awesome.
Just to try to, it's like, I don't know what it's like, but I mean,
they already did that in Kansas City, Russ. Yeah. That was called.
Well, I know it was a big failure.
Magnet school program.
Yeah, my nephews. I think you remember this. My nephews. They actually sent taxi cabs out to pick them up.
No, I knew kids that did that. I'm a product of the Kansas City Magnet School, you know, program of the 90s, the desegregation plan. And you're right, it was a complete failure because you don't solve, you know, issues of cultural and educational inequality, you know, by throwing just money at something. They threw a lot of money at the Kansas City, Missouri School District, but what needed to ultimately change is the culture of education, you know, within, you know, certain, you know, groups of people.
Well, in New York, it's really not fair in a demographic sense because, you know, there are boroughs in New York that, you know, the number of white population in New York is dropping like a rock compared to the other population groups. I mean, eventually, it's going to be harder than hell to fight a white
say
student.
That again? Are the Jews moving from Manhattan? What are you saying here?
All right, I'm all separating right. The two groups, as you well know. I'm not trying to put the two groups under the same umbrella.
We're talking about the majority of Jewish people in America are what is known ethnically as Ashkenazi Jews. And
well, I understand that.
They're white folks. They're people from Eastern Europe, like a lot of other. They're just as white as and Lily and Cracker as you are, sir.
Yeah, but they take advantage of the anti-discrimination laws. When they want to pull out the I'm being discriminated card, then they pull out the Jewish card. If I pull out that card as a white male, I'm considered a whiner.
Well, I mean, right. I mean, I would consider anyone that's going to use the crux of that. And I mean, there's some reality to it. I mean, I don't know about Jewish discrimination so much anymore. When that idiot shot those people outside of that community center in Overland Park a month ago or whatever, and I'm reading this local, you know, writer talk about how relieved he was, who is Jewish, about how relieved he was when he heard the news of this to know that Israel exists because he knows that there's some place where he can go and be safe. And you're just like, really? I'm pretty sure Israel has a lot of security issues, probably more so than Overland Park. And the idea that you would ever have the American society or government or anything be antagonistic towards Jewish people, you know, in this country, because Jewish people are so ingrained within all aspects of our society, you know, that somehow that there could be some sort of pogromatic system of anti-Semitic retribution or something like that. You know,
well, that might have been true 60 years ago. or 100 years ago, but I don't think it's possible now.
There were a lot of things that were true 60 or 100 years ago. There was a time in which if a black man walked down the street with a white lady, he could get killed.
Well, that's true.
Right? And there might be a town or two where that's still the reality in this country, and that's probably the same town where they would tell you also that Jewish people aren't white or whatever. No?
Well, I'm just saying that, that to me, it's like this whole issue about the, the shakedown artists like Al Sharpton. That's how they make their money.
Sure, absolutely. No question about that.
It's no different. It's no different to me from the green, environmental groups as well. When they're always preaching about the end of the world coming soon.
I gave one of those environmental groups that they send the people door to door that go beg for money. I gave the lady $10 because she just wouldn't stop with her spiel, and she was trying so damn hard. And I was like, all right, I'm going to give you $10, leave. Since then, they've sent me at least $500 worth of literature. And this is an environmental group sending me all kinds of paper in the mail using all types of trees and carbon footprints and et cetera to get me to send them more of my dollars. I mean, there's definitely some truth to that. But, Russ, we appreciate your phone call.
Bye.
Continue
later,
to be paranoid,
bye-bye.
Sir. All right. Now, that's what it is. Be paranoid about, Jewish people owning stuff. I mean, I don't know what difference it ultimately makes. Is there a conspiracy of Jews to run the world? I mean, it's like when we talked about 9/11 and there would be people who'd want to just go, well, it was an Israeli conspiracy, and just simplify things down to that level. Or people that tell you that Israel runs America.
Well, it's called AIPAC, right?
Well, lobbying runs America. AIPAC is a lobbying, committee. I mean, that's what their job is. They are paid to, there are lobbyists who go onto Capitol Hill and, grease the wheels of the political process. I mean, of course AIPAC has influence. Is it the most influential in Washington? I don't know. I'm not there to make that judgment. I mean, clearly America has a strong interest in Israel. Clearly America has a strong interest in the Middle East. Clearly Western Europe has had a strong interest in the Middle East. I mean, I think that there's a trend here that is above and beyond just Israel.
Right. Chaos is their business.
I mean, folks, the Western European Christian folks and their descendants, which would be us here in America, have been trying to take over the Middle East since Muhammad?
Approximately.
Yeah, somewhere around then. I mean, that's just been going on. I mean, what is the contingent of white evangelical or just evangelicals? I don't have to qualify it with a racial, modifier. Evangelical people who support the state of Israel because they think it means that God is coming back. I mean, Pat Roberts wanted to build a freaking theme park, or he did build a theme park with Jesus-themed roller coasters and stuff, in Israel.
Huh.
Yeah.
I wonder how much season passes go for there.
Yeah, I don't think the rides are that good.
40 pieces of silver.
I think it's in shekels, but I mean, you can simplify things down, and that's really the problem. It's like I said about people thinking about people, events, or ideas. I mean, if you want to simplify, some sort of control structure or some sort of scarcity of rights or money or employment or whatever it is, down to people, say, well, it's the Jews' fault, or the best, it's the illegals' fault. They're taking our damn jobs away. All these Mexicans are taking our jobs away, or whatever that is. It's a very simplistic way to understand things. And it does, in effect, play you into that game. Does the Anti-Defamation League, do they spend a lot of time being overly sensitive about everything? Does the Simon Wiesenthal Center spend a lot of time being overly sensitive about everything? Yes. The answer is yes. I mean, some things are just, criticisms that are valid. I mean, can you have valid criticism about the Israeli government's handling of their situation? Of course. Israel is the only apartheid state left in the world, I think. I mean, I guess there's North Korea, too. I mean, I don't know. They got apartheid or something. I mean, Israel is probably one of the most racist countries in the world, right? I mean, we want to think about and speak about this honestly. Am I saying that Jewish people are bad? No. Am I saying Israeli government policy is wrong? Absolutely. I mean, no doubt about that. America used to be one of the most racist countries in the world, right?
Started out that
way. Yeah, I mean, started out that way. One of the most racist countries in the world.
You know, now we're a melting pot.
We genocided the Indians. You know, we put it into our constitution that black people were 3/5 of a human flipping being. We're not black people, but I guess slaves were 3/5 of a human being, which for all intents and purposes was black folks. It started out like that. Are we still there? No, it's evolved a little bit. I mean, to be perfectly honest, I don't think Israel wants to have peace with their, you know, with the who they occupy.
No, it's the order ab chaos. They got to keep the tumultuous nature of things, you know, scattered there. You don't want all those people coming together that don't believe in usury and have natural resources that could power their whole half of the planet, would you?
But even beyond all that, ludicrous. I mean, it's really a matter of
free market fascism.
Great minds discuss ideas. Average minds discuss events. Small minds discuss people. You know who said that?
Einstein.
Eleanor Roosevelt.
Oh, yeah? Me and her had a lot in common.
Bleeding hearts.
I loved Madame Arby's. Roosevelt. Me and her had a lot in common. You know, and it's just, you know, so does Israel have problems? Yes. Does that mean that Israeli people are bad? No, not necessarily. You know, I mean, they live in fear because that's what their society has bred, fear. I mean, before the West Bank was occupied, the thinnest piece of Israel was like 7 miles wide, right? And then the fear would you have the, you know, Arab nations leaguing together to fight them and run them into the sea, run the Israelis into the sea. You know, start in Jordan and just head west. So they live in fear. And what happens when people live in fear?
Poor decisions.
Yeah, made. Well, I mean, beyond poor decisions, I mean, you're able to literally dehumanize people because you're afraid. You know? Act like, treat people like wild animals.
Dogs.
And get primal yourself.
Dogs.
Because you are living in fear.
And you could probably find a scripture that justifies it.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, you could always use religion to justify whatever heinous act that you're trying to perpetrate. Yeah, I mean, can't you? It seems like that has almost always been the case. Almost always been the case. All right, it's about a minute or two before the 2 o'clock hour, and we have some information to play for you. It is the KKFI Spring 2014 pledge drive. Oh yes, spring has sprung, folks, all over your radio, and we would love for you to
skeet skeet
to support some community radio in the 21st century. The best way to do it right now would be to go to kkfi.org and make a secure online donation pledge. Use your debit card, use your credit card, take some money, put it in KKFI's account, and help the radio station be strong for another year. All right, we'll be back after this right here on 90.1 FM KKFI Kansas City Community Radio. I'm Benjamin. This is the Paragon Radio Program.
Support for KKFI provided by Gladstone Area Chamber of Commerce, sponsoring the 18th Annual Gladstone Summertime Blues Festival starting at 6 p.m. Friday, June 6th, 2 p.m. Saturday, June 7th at Oak Grove Park, 76th and North Truce, Gladstone, Missouri. Featured acts include Fast Johnny Ricker, The Bel-Airs, and Larry Garner on Friday. And on Saturday, A.J. Gaither, Danny Cox, Doghouse Daddies, Brick Field and The Chosen Ones, Moreland and Arbuckle, and Walter Wolfman Washington. Further details at gladstonechamber.com.
Did you know that there are as many as 1,400 veterans living on the streets in Kansas City? If you know of a homeless vet, please urge them to come to the Heart of America Stand Down on June 6th and 7th, where vets can receive shoes, clothing, an eye exam, a haircut, and other services along with a hot meal. Vets must bring their veteran's ID. The event will be held on the grounds of the Scottish Rite Temple at 1330 Linwood. More information can be found at kcstanddown.org. This message, a public service of 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.